So a founder, maybe they can't really do email marketing regularly or always get to social or think about their messaging consistently. So you kind of get this patchwork quilt of marketing, or what I have come to name the spaghetti strategy. And then for me, I spend a lot of time looking at messaging. It's not just about the features we have. It's about how we're ultimately solving a problem for our customers.
Welcome to Million Dollar Flip Flops, the podcast that invites you on a transformative journey to unlock the secrets of living life to the fullest. In this podcast, we dive deep into the minds of thought leaders, game changers, and business builders from around the world. If you're a business owner feeling trapped, overwhelmed, and longing for the time freedom you once dreamt of, this podcast is your beacon of hope. Buckle up, because here we go.
All right. So assume nobody has any idea who you are. Give me the 10-second elevator speech.
I am a marketer with 20 years of experience. It works with startups. That's amazing. My very, very short one.
Amazing. So, you know, I used to coach baseball, and I very specifically could not work with the kids who needed to learn all the basics. I was more of a theory guy, so I did middle school for 10 plus years. So tell me about that. Like, what do you find are the biggest challenges for startups versus maybe a more seasoned business?
I mean, I think you already just kind of alluded to it, is that there's so much learning that has to be done. And there's a lot of mess, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm drawn to that because I love it and I love working with them. But part of why I like that is because I like going over the foundational stuff. I like teaching it. And I get a lot of satisfaction from watching a lot of the messy pieces come together into a cohesive story. So,
yeah. Yeah, man, those light bulb moments, right? They're hard to describe to other people who maybe aren't in this industry. It's certainly part of why I do what I do. Yeah. What do you think, you know, from a marketing perspective, and I'm curious what your background was too, but from a marketing perspective, maybe the biggest mistake or biggest one or two mistakes you see new startups making when they're trying to launch?
Oh, well, I mean, a lack of consistency is one of the big problems that I see. And part of that is just due to the fact that there's not enough resources. So while, you know, a founder and maybe his co-founder or her co-founder may be the only two people at the startup, maybe they can't really do email marketing regularly or always get to social or think about their messaging consistently. So you kind of get this patchwork quilt of marketing, or what I have come to name the spaghetti strategy, which is literally just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks, right? So there's that. And then for me, I spend a lot of time looking at messaging, which I sort of touched on there, but it's, again, lack of cohesion or real thought about, it's not just about the features we have, it's about how we're ultimately solving a problem for our customers. So a lot of that is very murky in the beginning.
Yeah. But making yourself not the hero, making the customer the hero, right? Man, that's a problem for me. I know that, like, you coming from the sales world, and then, you know, the best example is probably Apple and Steve Jobs, right? Like when he first tried to sell the Lisa, and it was like a 9-page ad in the New York Times. And then he goes to Pixar, he comes back, and it's just think different.
Oh, like, you know, that's it.
Suddenly they're a $1 trillion company. What happened? You know, it had nothing to do with the marketing, right?
Yeah, nothing.
So somebody comes to you, they've got this kind of scattered mentality, we'll call it, or scattered plan. You know, what are the first steps that you take with them? Because, you know, I specifically work with people on kind of their why and their statement of purpose. And it's not dissimilar from what you're doing. They just keep making decisions with no idea really where they want to go. You've narrowed that down into, now we're making decisions for a business with no real, we just need more money. We just need more
runway. Always, yeah.
So what are first steps for you when somebody comes to you and they're just scattered? Tell me what that looks like.
When I can, I actually start with that why as well. Sometimes though, I will meet resistance there, and a company will say, like, listen, we like our messaging. We want to stick with what we have, and so be it. Right. There's a little bit of, you can, you know, bring a horse to water, you can't make him drink kind of thing here. I feel like that's not actually the saying, but it's something along the lines of that. So, you know, so we'll roll with it. So if messaging is off the table, at least initially, the next thing I look at or do is sort of a general, I hate to use the word audit, but it's an audit. Just kind of get the lay of the land, right? Where are we actually at? Baseline. Do we have social? Do we have email? Like, where are we at, right? So it's a check. And then it's a plan. And I feel like the marketing plan has sort of gotten this weird, it's kind of like a bad word in marketing right now. And so I've thought a lot about how marketing plans can really be applied to startups where things are so volatile and things change so often. So quarterly, maybe a little beyond quarterly is about as far as I'll go now, but to give us some type of guide of, all right, how are we going to pull everything together here that's going to work for the goals that we have right now? Mm-hmm. So it helps to just give those guardrails for a business that usually doesn't have a whole lot. And I find that works really nicely.
What challenges do you see in people who, or businesses who, they do a lot of different things? They can help people in a lot of different ways, or they have a lot of different products, getting them on that singular message that brings people in the door?
I think that when there's a lot of products, my question is always, but are they all working? Like, not necessarily do we need them all, but do we have them all dialed in? Do we know we have audiences, and are they solving for a real problem? And that's not necessarily a marketing issue. That's more a business issue of, you know, are we really buttoned up? If the answer is yes, I often find the answer is no, quite honestly. If the answer is yes, then it's, again, going back to messaging, it's getting clear on what we're saying and who we're saying it to, because that can get confusing very quickly. I have a client right now that started their business during the pandemic, and their primary audience was veterinarians, and still is now. But they had a tool that was supposed to be used in clinic with veterinarians, and the pandemic happened and you could not get into a veterinarian. So that made selling that particular item very difficult. So we switched gears, and now we were looking at pet owners. So now they made an entire new line of products for pet owners. Website change, marketing messaging change, audience change. Like, now we had two very different things going on. And this has now kind of flip-flopped multiple times how we want to approach these things, who we're going to talk to, the order in which we have to talk to them. So I think, kind of to your question, you need to get really clear on, you know, what problem are we solving? Who are we solving it for? And are we actually solving it, right? Like, it's not enough to just have a million products and be like, yeah, this is great. Like, are we really solving for a problem? Do we know do we know how we're helping? So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. What would you say the breakdown is of your clients, service versus product?
Right now, I would say it's mostly product, actually, but that has not always been the case. At one point it was mostly service-based, and now it might say it's actually about 90% product-based. Really? Yeah. And that feels unusual for me, to be perfectly honest with you.
Do you enjoy working with one more than the other?
No, I really don't. For me, it's the environment and the founder that I work with that is ultimately what I'm drawn to, and I think what draws them to me. It's really important that I feel like a part of the team, that even though I'm not a direct member of the team, that I'm still really integrated into the business and work with a founder that's open and likes to kind of tinker a bit, because there's not a lot of historical knowledge in the early days of a company. So you have to be willing to experiment, to get some things wrong, and then to celebrate when you get them right, because it feels awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. We do, for our Legendary Living program, you know, we start with a triage call, and it's only 20 minutes before we ever dive into an hour long strat call, because that chemistry is so important.
Oh my God.
And it's hard for me, and I'm curious your stand on this, but, you know, maybe 20% of the people that come in, we end up working with, and it's very much an audition on the other side. I'm not selling you anything. I know what will work, but if you're not willing to put in the work, if you're not the type of person that's going to be able to share and be vulnerable and really do the work to get it done, it was, you know, it's the horse and the drinking the water back, you know, you're right back to that. You know, it's, I can give you the tools, but if I know you're not going to do them, we're both wasting our time. you know, and I would rather not have your business. And it's hard as a salesperson to turn people away, but we do it every day.
Because it's such an unsatisfying experience, I think, on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I, for me, again, speaking of being vulnerable here, right? I've had clients like that or worked with clients like that. And I start questioning my own ability when I work with clients like that. And then I'm like, no, you know exactly what's happening here. You know, like take a step back. And so that's why that founder mindset and environment has just become so important for exactly the reasons you said, like that chemistry, it matters. Mm-hmm. Right. And such good work can happen when you have an environment like that. I love it.
Hey, gang, it's Roderick, and I hope you're enjoying today's show. What I've found as a lifelong entrepreneur, and certainly in coaching other entrepreneurs around the world for the last 20 years, is that we all pass through five phases on our business journey, from the believer to the business Buddha. You need the first two, you want the last two, but sadly, most of us get stuck in the middle and start the cycle over, some of us forever. Knowing where you are reveals a clear path for where you need to go. I've created a free quiz that, when answered honestly, will tell you where you currently are, but most importantly, will reveal your next steps. You can take the quiz right now at milliondollarflipflops.com/quiz. This has taken me 20 years of in the trenches trial and error to develop, and it's designed to change the way you look at your business and your life forever. Are you the showman? Are you the anxious philosopher? Maybe you're the peaceful warrior. There's only one way to find out. Take the free quiz now at milliondollarflipflops.com/quiz and see where you land. The results may shock you. Now back to the show. So give me a little bit about your background. I know you're 20 plus years in marketing. Was that a corporate atmosphere, or what were you doing before that kind of made you want to go down this road?
Yeah. So I was in market research actually to start with for about 8 years. And then I had a friend that worked in financial services. They had a marketing position open. And so I made the leap over there and started this kind of weird flip-flopping journey between financial services and market research until one day I landed a gig at a financial services startup. And I was employee number 6. And I went from having a corner office to working in an old IT closet. And I loved it. It was not something I necessarily expected to fall in love with so much, but the highs are high, the lows are low. You know, it's super fast paced. I think I like seeing the fruits of my labor, like, immediately. Maybe it's the instant gratification piece. I don't know. But I just loved the vibe. And I liked working with other companies that were in that same stage. It's just exciting. And it's also really challenging. But for somebody that is creative and likes to make things, like, there is no bigger carrot than to be like, you can help form this brand. You can help build this team. Like, you can make this company. So it's great. And it was, you know, and was there for about 3 years and decided, you know what, now I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, since being a kid, I wanted to run a business, had no idea what that looked like. And when the opportunity presented itself, which it did during the pandemic, I was like, you know what, this is it. This is the time. I'm going to make the leap. And so, yeah, a little over 3 years now, I've been running this business. So.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that a lot of good came out of the pandemic, you know, and I hear stories like this all the time. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it finally gave you that kick, you know, to start doing it. So tell me this, what are some symptoms, let's say, that somebody needs you in their business and in their life? What are they feeling? What are they going through? Like, who's your avatar?
The person that is wearing a ton of hats, feeling stretched in so many directions. Can't, like, they're moving from one thing to another. They can't be clear on any one thing. That's the founder, but they know that that's happening, right? Like, I think that's the thing too. They're self-aware enough to realize that this is a problem and that they shouldn't be working this way. That's my person.
Yeah. I was having a, you know, John Hewitt, it's Jackson Hewitt Tax and Liberty Tax. He started all those businesses. It was like almost a $1 billion exit. He was on the show and we were talking about how it's really rare and envision like an Elon, a Jobs, a Zuckerberg, a Bezos, you know, where the founder can do all of the things, right? They're the visionary and they get down to that granular level of marketing and what it really takes. You know, how often do you see that like perfect combination? Yeah. I mean, is it never?
Never. I have never seen it.
Yeah.
I have seen people that can pull that off for a little bit, but the founders I think that are most exciting are the ones that realize I shouldn't be doing all of this, right? And I think, you know, resourcing is obviously an issue. Sometimes they just don't have the cash to pay help. Like I get it, right? I fully get it. But there has to come a point in time, even for my own small business, I don't like wearing all the hats. It's impossible. It's not productive. So the founder that can just raise their hand and be like, look, I like dabbling marketing. Canva can be fun sometimes, or I love finance, whatever it is, right? But it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. That founder, man, I love you. Like, I applaud you. Thank you. Stand up and realize that it's truly not the best use of your time to do all things.
Yeah. That's that teeter totter, right? Going from kind of bootstrapping everything into, okay, I need to start if this is going to go anywhere. And you see so many businesses die that don't, they could be great. And they never take that next step to bring somebody like you on, you know, that needs, you know, because ultimately, you know, I work with a lot of coaches in various different industries too. And I always say, do what you love and then take a course in sales and marketing. You know, and these people get kicked out of coaching programs and they've never sold anything in their life. And they think, well, I've got my ICF now. And so they'll start knocking on the door, build it and they will come. Right. And it's just, it is the furthest thing from the truth. And it's what you do is there's such a science and such an art to it. And I've been in sales, you know, literally my entire life in one form or another. And I still learn new things about marketing every day from professionals like you. So it's definitely a needed thing.
I still learn new things about marketing every day.
The right people in the right seat on the bus, right? So how can people get a hold of you? You know, give us socials, give us website, you know, what's the best step to all of this is resonating with me. How do I get Ann on the line?
Love it. Yeah. You can find me at thinmarketingm.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. That's where I am all the time. And I would love to chat with anyone that is interested.
Awesome. Anything else you want to leave our listeners with today?
I guess I would just say that if you are struggling with your marketing, you know, remember, take it one step at a time. Honestly, I would rather somebody take a step back than charge forward thinking they have to do everything. Clear, concise, thoughtful, I think is far better than just spaghetti strategy.
I love it. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I had a ton of fun. This was super valuable. And guys, if you want to reach Ann, everything will be in the show notes. And hopefully we will see you on the flip side.
Awesome. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Million Dollar Flip Flop Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you listen on. If this episode make you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them. Or post it on your social media to share with your friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description of this episode. If you want to see more behind the scenes with Roderick and his guests, be sure to find them on Instagram. It's also where we can have deeper conversations on these episodes. Go to www.instagram.com/milliondollarflipflops. Until next time.